We're just a little ways into the book of Galatians. Done a few preliminary things. Last week we looked at the salutation of the letter. Grace to you and peace. It's in every one of Paul's letters. Grace just being God being good to you. And peace being you able to say, I'm good. Because of God's goodness to me, I'm good. Paul wants the gospel to result for every believer in grace and peace. And in Jesus Christ, giving himself for our sins. Forgiveness for sins committed, cleansing, the change in order to follow a different path. And then rescue that we focused on. Release from this present evil age. That all the stuff that the present evil age would corner you to do, you don't have to do that stuff anymore because of the rescue of Jesus Christ. Because of the release, can't hold you. Today we're going to begin the body of the letter. And it starts pretty strong and on a fairly negative note. Going to start with, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you. So it's going to start fairly negative and fairly strong. Now I want you to know before we're finished, there's only six chapters, that before we're finished, we'll read some pretty positive things, some pretty great verses. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc. That's in Galatians. We're going to read that. The fruit that the Spirit produces. It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. That's in Galatians. What matters is a new creation, and whoever walks by that rule, peace. So we're going to read some pretty positive stuff, some pretty good stuff before we get done, but we're going to begin with a very strong negative. I think it's important to understand the problem rightly. I urge you to just peruse and read and study and meditate on the letter while we're in it. But I urge you not to read it just looking for good insights, okay? For helpful ideas, for an encouraging word. Of course, I hope all of us get insights and good ideas and encouragement. But it's important for us to learn not to just cherry pick random things from the word, because then we too much bring the word into conformity with our world and things needed in our world rather than get conformed to its world. So keep asking yourself, what's the letter about? What's the story here? What's the deal? What are the issues and the problems that generate the talk that we find in the letter? At the start of it, we went through some of the phrases that occur in the letter. There's talk of falling from grace, talk of making Christ of no benefit, there's talk of being severed from Christ, there's talk about not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel. Paul is worried that perhaps all his labor, all the preaching and labor over them has been in vain. So keep asking yourself, what's the problem? What generates that kind of talk? What's the issue here? You know, you want to understand the reasons for that kind of talk. And then, of course, what addresses the issue? What addresses the problem? So let's begin by reviewing this verse. This is taken from a message that Paul preached in Iconium, which is one of the Galatian churches, when he was evangelizing it there. He showed up in the synagogue and he preaches a sermon. Luke doesn't often record the sermons that Paul preaches, but he does a pretty good job with his sermon at Iconium. And this is one of the things that Paul says as he's evangelizing one of the Galatian churches. Let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, that's Christ, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And through him, everyone who believes is freed from all things from which you could not be freed through the law of Moses. So the gospel is able to free a person from things that the law of Moses could not free a person. But the word translated free is actually the word justify, which is, of course, a huge word in the Apostle Paul's theological vocabulary, justification by faith. It's that word. So Paul says that the gospel is able to justify a person from things that the law of Moses could not. So let's not be too technical for a moment. Justification is a word about righteousness. Things that are right are justified. So justify has to do with things being straightened out, being as they should be, being made right. So the claim here is that the gospel can straighten some things out that the law of Moses cannot straighten out. That the gospel can get some things right that the law of Moses cannot get right. So here's a question for you. What are those things? What are those things that the gospel can straighten out that the law of Moses cannot? What are those things? About what should you say, as long as you stick with the law of Moses, you'll never get it right? You know, what are those things? You'll never get it straightened out. But with just the law of Moses, you need the gospel. You'll never get it to be as it should be. But of course, the claim suggests an even more important issue than what can't the law of Moses make right or straighten out. What things does the gospel straighten out? What things can the gospel make right? Get it straightened out. Get it the way that it should be. Something that I've been thinking about, I hope that you occasionally think about this too. Actually, it's for me, it's something a lot more than just thinking about, something that I wrestle with, is how well is Christianity supposed to work? How well is Christianity supposed to work? What things should we be able to say about Christianity can fix that? The gospel can make that right. About what things should you be able to say that? You've got that? Gospel can fix that. Of course, all of us want to be able to say that Christianity can get you into heaven when you die. You're on your way to hell. Christianity can fix that. Gospel can fix that. So that when you die, you don't go to hell, you go to heaven. Christianity can straighten that out. So we're pretty confident that that happens, though, of course, at the moment, we can't prove our case about that. Right? Part of the reason we're so confident is we don't get any negative evidence. But, of course, we don't have any positive evidence either. But we want to say that the gospel can straighten you out and send you to heaven when you die. But how about if you're often dishonest? You hardly ever tell the story straight. What if you're that kind of person? Can the gospel fix that? Can the gospel straighten you out so that you don't always tell the story slant? How about if your pride gets you in trouble? Can the gospel fix that? Can the presence of the gospel get your pride to be the way that it's supposed to be? I don't think I'll ever forget. I remember a pastor telling me once about some happenings in the church. He was telling me about his own role in the happenings. It was one of those kind of ongoing stories and additional information, etc. But then he said these words. He says, you know, at some point, everybody's pride kicks in. And he says, and when we got to this point, my pride kicked in. And then he told me what he did. So does the gospel just merely delay somewhat the point at which your pride kicks in? Is that what the gospel does? You know, because sooner or later, you know, everybody's pride kicks in. So the gospel can maybe delay the advent of that, but it can't do much more than that. I mean, Christianity talks about believers being people who are kind and patient when wronged and content in everything and forgiving. about giving and expecting nothing in return, that they're not jealous or bitter or resentful. Can the gospel really fix all those things? I mean, I hear a lot of stories where kind of it doesn't sound very fixed, very straightened out. When we're driven by envy or strife, or we're offended about something, or we worry, or driven by fear or anxiety, can the gospel straighten that out? How well is Christianity supposed to work? Maybe the law of Moses can't get it done. Can the gospel get it done? When the gospel does not seem to work as well as it says on the packaging, when the gospel doesn't work as well as it seems to say on the packaging, what's the problem? Is it that the gospel is not very good at straightening some things out? That could be the answer. The gospel doesn't straighten that out. Or could it be that we've changed the gospel into something that's a lot less effective than it's supposed to be? So is it that the gospel does not work very well? Or is it it's not the gospel? That's why it's not working well, because it's not the gospel. Because the gospel can straighten that out. So before we read the opening verses of Galatians, I want to connect it to something that I think is similar, I also think is worth pondering. Jesus says this about himself in relationship to the world. In John 7, he says, "The world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." So Jesus says, "The world hates me." Later on in John, he says, "If the world hates you," to his disciples, "you know that it has hated me before it hated you." So Jesus says the world hates him. Of course, we have some proof of that, and they crucified him. Here's something that bothers me. People don't seem to hate Jesus very much anymore. That bothers me. If you walk down the street and ask people at random, "What do you make of Jesus?" I think you would get a nearly 100% favorable response from people. There would be virtually no one who says, "I hate Jesus." You could ask about various politicians and you'd probably get that response. But if you asked about Jesus, you would get positive feedback. No one would say, "I hate him." No one would say, "I despise what he stands for." You would tend to hear, "I think Jesus is a good guy. He's an advocate of things that are good and right and true and beautiful, desirable." You would hardly hear anyone say, "I think it was a good idea that they crucified him." So what's the deal? Does the world no longer hate Jesus? Is that the explanation? The world doesn't hate him anymore. It used to, but it no longer hates him. Or is it that the Jesus that the world loves is a changed and distorted Jesus? And if they were to encounter the real Jesus, their approval would swiftly become disapproval. Is that the reason? Is it the world no longer hates him? Or is that the Jesus that gets presented to the world isn't the real Jesus? And if they met the real Jesus, they would swiftly get moved from their approval of him to disapproval. I think it's the second option, that it's a changed and distorted Jesus. In fact, the reason that the world hates him is stated right there. The world hates him because he testifies to it that its deeds are evil. If you walk down the street and ask people about Jesus, nobody would say, "Yeah, I've learned from Jesus that my deeds are evil." Nobody says that. But Jesus testified that that's what the deal is. But of course, people don't get presented with that Jesus. They get presented with a Jesus who's just like them, a good guy, and supporting of the right and the good and the true and the beautiful. But Jesus says, "I came to tell them their deeds were evil." So that an issue for us is, What is it that you have to do to make sure you have the real Jesus, not a distorted one? What do you have to do to make sure that you haven't changed or modified Jesus into something that's not the real Jesus? But now do the same thing with the gospel itself. What do you have to do to make sure you have the real gospel? That you haven't changed or modified the gospel into something that's no longer the real gospel. That's an important issue, that you have the thing be the real gospel, not a modified and changed one. So here's the first thing that Paul says in the body of the letter to the Galatians. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. It's a big gun word, anathema. So strong curse word. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. Now, we don't yet know what specifically the Galatians are even doing. Later in the letter, we'll get some specifics. Or what is it that they're doing? Here we're just simply told that whatever it is that they're doing, we're told that they're deserting Christ. That sounds serious. I hope that sounds serious to you. Whatever it is they're doing, we're not been told that, but we've been told that whatever that is, they are deserting him who called them by the grace of Christ. So they're deserting Christ. And they're deserting Christ not by forsaking the gospel. That's probably a way that you could desert them. You could forsake the gospel, turn from it. But that's not what they're doing. They're deserting Christ by changing the gospel. Exchanging the real gospel for a different gospel. Modifying the good news into some different good news. Some other good news. They got a modified good news that is the distortion of the true good news, or the true gospel. That's what they're doing. And then Paul is very quick to point out that this different gospel is really not the gospel. Try to make the gospel into another gospel, and all one does is distort the gospel and end up with something that is not good news. And notice the strength of the language. Paul is very strong, and he just says, I don't care who it is that changes the gospel. If we change our mind and we change the gospel, if an angel from heaven, no, not even a bad angel, a good angel comes to you and changes the gospel that we preach to you, that any who change the gospel is to be anathema. That's very strong, isn't it? So Paul just says, if it ain't the gospel that we preach to them, if it ain't the gospel that we preach to you, it ain't the gospel. A changed gospel is no longer the gospel. Rather, it's a desertion of him who called them by the grace of Christ. When you change it and modify it, it's not the gospel, it's a desertion of Christ himself. And here's a crucial point. If it ain't the gospel, it ain't going to do what the gospel alone can do. That if you don't have the real gospel, you aren't going to get gospel results. You aren't going to get gospel outcomes. The opening statement in Galatians, this is it. And again, we haven't even been told what the specifics are that they're doing. Maybe they're sacrificing cats on full moon nights. And we're going to find out that, and Paul's going to say, that ain't the gospel. That sacrificing Gat stuff on the full moon nights. Maybe they're robbing all the banks in the Galatian province to build new churches, feeling that's a good way to fund the outreach. Maybe that's what they're doing, and Paul's going to say, oh, that's a different gospel. Maybe they're advocating political rebellion against the Roman Empire and say, you know, Jesus is Lord, we got to take over. Get rid of like all these perverse and evil laws and happenings in our cities and streets. So maybe they're advocating political rebellion, and Paul's going to say to that, that ain't the gospel. So again, we haven't been told yet what the specifics are, but the opening statement raises this issue. I hope it raises it for you. What's the gospel that you're running around with? If I had asked you at the start, how many of you believe the gospel, maybe every one of you would have raised your hand. You said, I believe the gospel. So now the issue is, what's the gospel that you're running around with? If it's a different gospel than what Paul preached, and I don't care where you got it, you could have got it from some big luminary, theological luminary. I don't care if you got it from an angel in heaven. If you're running around with a gospel that's different than the gospel that Paul preached, it's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. There are no different gospels. There are no another gospels. Any departure from the true gospel is a desertion of the gospel. It's a desertion of Christ. And if you don't have true gospel, you're not going to get true gospel outcomes. So ask yourself, what's the gospel I'm running around with? Is it the gospel that Paul preached? Or is it a different gospel? Of course, I'm suggesting that when we find ourselves not getting gospel results, gospel outcomes, perhaps we've exchanged the true gospel for a different gospel. Your Christianity is supposed to help you with a whole bunch of things. Help you not be so resentful, help you not be bitter, help you not be dishonest, help you not to take offense, help you not to be run by fear or strife or envy. If the gospel is supposed to help you with all those things and it's not helping you, maybe it's not the gospel. That's why you're not getting gospel results, because the thing that you got isn't the real gospel. And in doing the exchange from the true gospel to a different gospel, you desert Christ. And Christ is needed to get help with all those things, to get justified from all those things, to straighten all those things out. You got to have Christ. If you deserted him, whatever it is you got, it ain't going to work. Not going to straighten it out. Not going to get it fixed. Not going to make it right. Suppose you're going fishing but not catching any fish. So you ask me about it, and I say, get the Fuzzy's brand chartreuse spoon. Troll at 1.8 miles per hour, 85 feet behind the boat, on 20-pound test line. And you'll catch fish. So you do that, when you come back to me and say, I did everything you said, and I'm still not catching fish. And I ask, are you trolling at the right speed? You say, yes, 1.8. How many feet behind the boat are you? 85. That's good. What pound test line are you using? 20. That's good. And you're using the Fuzzy's brand chartreuse spoon, right? Well, when I went to the store, they didn't have Fuzzy's brand, but the guy at the store said, this is just like Fuzzy's brand. So I got a different kind. I would say to you, throw that one away and go find Fuzzy's brand chartreuse spoon and fish with that, and you'll catch fish. You're not getting gospel results. When's the right time to say, you know, maybe I've got a distorted, maybe I've got a different gospel. I've got to throw this thing away and go find the gospel in which Christ will benefit me His grace will avail and will work. Because if you want gospel results, you need the real gospel. So the question for today, and I know it's just kind of hanging, but Paul wants to start with this issue. And again, we don't even know the specifics yet. We'll get to those. I think in many ways they're surprising. It's not sacrificing cats on full moon, by the way. If you think it might be something like that, that's not it. But what's the gospel that you're running around with? The Apostle Paul could check on you this week. Would he say, yeah, that's the real thing there. You're running around with courtesy. Or would he go, what is that thing? Where'd you get that? You say, I got it from an angel in heaven. I don't care where you got it. That's not the real thing. You're deserted him who called you. It happened quickly here. Paul's amazed that they're so quickly deserted. You know, God himself called them by the grace of Christ. So I hope that stirs your thought. It is a stern thing. But if it's accurate, and again, they're not forsaking the gospel, they're changing it. It's kind of a solemn thing. Can't you just change it a little bit and still have it work okay? Rather than the thing not work at all, you can't get the gospel results. And Paul says, if it's different, anathema. So I hope that makes you curious. What is it that they're doing? I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to be on the side that's changed it and deserted Christ, made it of no effect. So that's what we're after. But he starts strong. Paul usually starts his letter with, hi, I'm Paul, to you guys, and greetings. And then he diddles around for a while saying how thankful to God he is for them. And I think I like you and it's great and I rejoice in all God's grace to you. Doesn't do any of that in Galatians. It's just, hi, Paul, to the churches of Galatia, salutation, and I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting for a different gospel. So I hope that challenges your thought. And again, we get to some really positive stuff before we get to the end, so hang in there. It's not meant to beat us up. I think it's meant to make us know that having the real thing, having the real Jesus, if you got the real Jesus and you present the real Jesus to the world, they're not going to love him. They're going to hate him. And if you're a follower of him, they're going to hate you too. So if you're presenting a Jesus that everybody loves, I don't think it's the real Jesus. Present the true one, the world's not going to like him. He's going to testify to the world that their deeds are evil. You have the real gospel, you'll get gospel results and all the things that the gospel promises. We'll find working in you, we'll find working among us. Part of my own answer to how well is it supposed to work? It's supposed to work pretty well, I think. It does get us to heaven when we die. I think it should also turn us into people who are able to walk by all the paths of righteousness now and do the things that are according to the will of God. Let's pray together. Father, we would be people, Father, who come to know the one whom you sent. Father, who learn to abide in him. Father, who learn to know his friendship. Father, who receive from him all the grace and the help and the mercy and the kindness and the love and the peace that he alone can give. Father, thank you for causing us to be friends with your Son. Father, we would not modify or change him. Father, we would not modify or change the good news that we find in him. Father, losing those things that he alone brings. So, Father, thank you for such good news. Father, help us to abide in it, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.